No, I won't sing for you, Roger. Oh. Let's begin tonight with a word of prayer, though. Father in heaven, Lord, we do thank you just again this for this opportunity to be together as your children, to learn from your word. Lord, we thank you for these beings that you have created called angels. And thank you for the opportunity and the amount of information that you do give us concerning them. And I pray, Lord, that even as we learn about these, that, Lord, it would just point all of our thoughts to your greatness, your care for us, as they are really spirits that are in this universe to minister to us, Lord. So we thank you for that tonight. Do ask your blessing upon our time in your word. I do pray, Lord, that it would be glorifying to you and beneficial to us. And it is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, we are going to start looking at the doctrine of angels tonight, or really what God has to say about these beings called angels. I do believe that this is a critical study. There are quite a few Bible passages that talk about angels, but one of the reasons I think that this is a critical study is because the truth about these beings is probably one that is greatly, greatly distorted. I would gather that most of the information that the world in general, that they currently believe about angels, is incorrect. Most of the information that the world, again, in general, currently believes about angels is incorrect. The Bible is the original source of knowledge about them. It is the authentic. It gives us really authentic revelation concerning who and what these beings are. However, through the years, through man's imagination, through man's speculation, and especially through Satan's deception, angels have been imagined to be much, much different than what they really are. So we're going to look, or at least begin tonight, looking at the truth of this matter. And before we do, I've got a PowerPoint here I'll have Bobby put up in a minute that we're going to look at some of the incorrect information that is out there. I did a Google search and just typed in angels, and these are some of the photos and artwork that I found on them. Go ahead and put that up there, Bobby, if you would. All right. Here's one right here. Here's a she-angel that is just a real warrior there, okay? Some artwork on someone's conception of an angel. Here's another one. This is the Angel of Peace, according to the little title that was under the photo. What was that?
That's my angel.
Is that your angel?
That's what I imagine.
All right. And a lot of people do. A lot of people do. This is a picture that I had actually over my bed as a child.
Yes.
Of a woman guardian angel watching these two little children as they cross this very dangerous bridge. They're probably disobeying their parents. All right. Here's another one of a guardian angel watching over some children at play. Oh, and here is a husband and wife angel. Okay. The more masculine wings of the guy, and looks like he's got wings on his head there, too. And she's got dainty little blue wings behind her there, but beautiful artist conception of a man and woman angel. And here is a woman angel with a baby angel.
Okay.
It often is, yeah. In fact, I think that might be my next photo, but you can't see it as well here. You can barely make out. Can you see the kid's wings?
Yeah. right there, there's an outline of a little baby wing on this baby angel.
That takes a good imagination.
Imagination is right. All right. Everybody's seen that one before, right? These are actually supposed to be two cherubs, okay? Little children, angels, with their little wings. Yeah, there might have been there.
The cherubs are little. They certainly are.
Well, we're going to learn for real in a minute, okay? These are what man's imagination, speculation, and artists have done. All right, and then, of course, there's this one right here. Lots of little cute baby angels. Right? All right.
Is that one in the middle? A cheeseburger.
All right. Now we come to a little more. I'll just show it to you. There's somebody's photograph, and they claim that right there, circled, is an angel. And again, you can't see it quite as well as I guess maybe the resolution on this projector. But there's actually a face right there, but there's another face right there, and another face right there. So I'm guessing we have some multiple exposures here. Okay. But anyway, they claim it's an angel in the photo. And then there's one right there. The photographer said that he captured a tree angel. A tree angel, an image of a tree angel right there. And I'm sure it has absolutely nothing to do with the fact that that's the sun and there might be some reflection on the lens. But that's a tree angel. And I'll just stop right there for a minute. But these are what angels are according to the world of Google. Along with that, I recently heard about a family that was going through a trial of sorts. And the mom, actually the grandma, said that after she had taken photos of this baby that was really going through a trying time, that she could count 18 angels in the photos. And she said that, and then this baby was in a life or death situation. She said that one of the angels, she was convinced, was this baby's older brother that had died several years earlier. Now, while I don't want to downplay the seriousness of the trial that this family is going through, nor do I want to make light of it, and I don't even doubt that angels could well have been present in that situation. This baby's brother that had passed away was not one of them, okay, according to Scripture, and we'll look at that. And I don't doubt that any of these angels were visible. I think it was this woman's imagination finding things in a photograph that weren't there. In fact, I just want to begin tonight by just giving you some common mythology about angels, really misconceptions, very common misconceptions about angels. Understanding that God, okay, is the one who created them. Understanding that God is the one who has really revealed their being, their presence to us. Some common misconceptions about angels is this. First of all, there are no female angels. None. No female angels. In fact, 90%. Have you got her phone number? We'll call Roma Downey right now and let her know.
Is that the misconception or is that the truth?
That there are no... I'm sorry. Yeah, well, I'm clarifying. The misconception is what we saw up here, okay?
all these female. In fact, as I did, that's good. Thank you for clarifying that. I didn't realize I'd worded it that way. Probably 90% of the photographs or artwork that I found concerning angels were female angels, and the other, in fact, well, maybe it's 80%, 15% babies, and then occasionally you will find a male angel. But there are no girl angels. And actually, while the, well, let me just tell you this, in the scripture, every time an angel is mentioned, it is mentioned in the masculine sense. Every single time. Now, know this. I don't believe there are boy angels either. Okay? I believe that they are neither male nor female, but rather they are very strong, powerful, masculine beings, masculine messengers, and for that reason, the verbiage, the way the sentence is structured, there are masculine terms used. But there are no feminine angels. Here's another misconception. Here's another fact, Jim, okay? There are no angel couples. All right, we saw that for obvious reasons, there aren't male and female angels, okay? There are no angel couples. In fact, Jesus in Matthew 22:30 said that angels do not give and take in marriage. So there are no angel couples. There are no angel babies because there are no angel couples. All right? There are no angel babies. When God created angels, He created a set number of them, and there are a lot of them. A lot of them. While their number is unknown, in fact, Scripture basically says they are innumerable. The closest reference we have to a number is in Revelation, where it says, the book of Revelation says that there were 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands before the throne of God. So there are no baby angels. They do not procreate. The next one, and I heard Bob say this just a few minutes ago, people do not become angels. People and angels are two distinct classifications of being, created beings. Both of them had a beginning. Both will have no end. But that is really where the likeness ends. In fact, the scripture tells us that these two classifications of beings, angels and man, are the only two classifications of beings, personalities, that God created. They are distinct from one another in many ways, including the things we just listed. Another thing is that angels are not visible by natural human vision. Every place in Scripture that man is able to see an angel is either because God had sent these ministers or messengers in the form of something that looked like a man, or He enabled a particular person at a particular time to see the spirit realm. John in the book of Revelation is one of those. In 2 Kings 6:17, in fact, I think we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, Sunday morning, as we went through Hebrews. But as Elisha, he was there in his camp, and the servant, their enemy was surrounding them, and his servant was wondering, man, we are doomed here. And Elisha says to his servant, don't worry, God has sent help. And Elisha prayed that his servant would be able to see the help that God sent. And as he opened his eyes, he could see the angels of God there standing ready to do battle on their behalf. So I don't believe that God's holy angels have ever been captured on film. In fact, I think I mentioned several weeks ago,
I think one of the reasons that angels are invisible to us is that if we could see them, there would be a lot more angel worship going on now than there is already. Just to cover a few other myths, ringing a bell will not give an angel wings. They do not have to earn them. It is irrelevant how many angels can fit on the head of a pin. Have you heard that one? That's actually an age-old argument. Some philosophers got together and trying to decide what angels actually were and how they existed in the world, had this argument as to how many angels could fit on the head of a pin. I do believe that there are guardian angels, but how things work exactly in that realm and how they operate in accord with us, Scripture really doesn't say. Angels are not omnipresent. They cannot be in one place or more than one place at a time. They are not all-powerful, and they are not all-knowing. And perhaps one of the reasons that man portrays angels so often in his imagination, in his speculation, as a woman or as feminine, is angels are described as beautiful, very beautiful. And from a human perspective, I know at least for me, it is difficult to think of anything that is masculine as beautiful. So I think that's why we get some of the images in our mind that we get. The definition of the word angel is simply a messenger. That's what the word angel means. And again, some of the confusion over perhaps people becoming angels might be because occasionally in Scripture, men are called angels because they're referred to as a messenger. So the same word is used. But there, as you look at the context, you will quickly be able to tell whether the author is talking about a spirit being or a man. Also, Jesus Christ is called a messenger in places or an angel in places. But the distinction, again, is always clear when Scripture uses the term. Angelic beings are a distinct group from men that were created to serve God as both messengers and ministers. In fact, they are significant in Scripture. They're mentioned about 108 times in the Old Testament and about 165 times in the New Testament. And therefore, being that significant, I think it's good that we look at who these beings are. Angels do exist. However, as with many things in Scripture, there's no place in Scripture where God actually sets out to prove that angels exist. It's just assumed. It is assumed from cover to cover. The Word of God is not only the original source of information on angels, but really the only reliable source of information. As man was created to have dominion over the sphere of the earth, in the tangible realm, angels were created to have dominion over a more grand universal sphere, in the spirit realm. In fact, if you will, turn to Colossians. Colossians chapter 1 will be our first stop here tonight. This is a passage of Scripture that is actually speaking of Jesus, speaking about Jesus, but it actually gives us some great information about the spirit realm. Colossians chapter 1. And looking at verses 16 and 17. again, this is speaking of Jesus, and it says, "For by him, Jesus, all things that were created, for by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things consist." And that includes the spirit world. In fact, one of the things that we ended on looking at the doctrine of God was in our video, looking at how God holds things together. Well, he doesn't only hold things together in the physical world, in this universe. He holds things together in the spirit world, because he created even that. Even the things that are invisible, he created. Angels were created. All beings, whether visible or invisible, were created by Jesus. And there is some, I'll just tell you, there is some disagreement among students of the Bible as to when angels were created. Some believe that angels were created at some point prior to the creation of the universe. However, since the starry heavens are actually the abode, or the home, the dwelling place of the angels, that's where they live, it is more likely that they were created even within the same week that God created everything else. Day 4, he created the starry heavens. Day 6, he created man. But either way, angels are created. Angels are invisible. This is all information that we can gather right here from this Colossians passage. They are invisible. We've talked about this already. They are not seen by natural means that man sees. Bob, do you have something?
They would have had to have been created earlier than man, simply because the fall of the angels and the satanic realm. Do we have any indication about when that happened?
The only reference to that is in the book of Revelation, and it does not give a timeline. And just as quickly as Adam and Eve could give in to sin or deception and sin, I think on the day that Satan was created, he could have given in to his pride. We're actually going to look a little bit at Satan and demons. We're not going to get that far tonight, but in the next week or two, we'll look a little bit at that. One of the indications that they were not created prior to the rest of the universe is the simple fact that they were given domain, or have domain, created to have domain, and their abode is the starry heaven, the universe. And that did not exist until the 6 days of creation. So, yeah, Christina. Yeah. All right. I'll get a reference to that. And I had it. I just didn't write it down.
Okay.
Yep. Yep. Okay.
I trust you.
All right.
I just have never remember reading it.
Okay. It's actually, I think it's in, I want to say, well, if I say it, I'd rather verify. I think Jude talks about some that left their proper domain, their proper abode. Okay. But we'll get that clarified, because that actually falls under the demon part of our study, and we'll get that clarified. Jude 1:6, okay. But there's also a reference to the. Does it mention the stars or the heavens? Okay.
everlasting change for judgment of the great day.
Okay, and that in connection with another passage is what leads me to that conclusion. And I'm not saying that that's absolute, that there are scriptures that seem to point that direction. That one being one of them in Jude. All right, but anyway, angels are invisible, and angels have domain. There seems to be an order of rank in designated areas in which angels, certain angels, have a charge. We're going to talk about that a little bit more in a few minutes. But all this to say, from cover to cover, Scripture puts forth the existence of angels. There are two classes of angels. There are God's holy angels, and there are fallen angels. The holy angels serve God and man. The fallen angels serve Satan, who himself is an angel, and they deceive man. Lord willing, again, we'll spend a better part of at least one of our classes talking about Satan, and the better part of one of our classes, I'm thinking we'll have about three in this, looking at the fallen angels. But tonight, we're going to look primarily at the holy angels. Holy angels are God's messengers and ministers. They serve Him. In fact, turn to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. Verse 14, and if you remember, we were comparing Jesus to the angels, and the author's argument is that Jesus is lower but not lesser. You remember that? Okay. Well, in chapter 1, verse 14, we have this. It says, "Are they not," talking about the angels, "are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation?" So not only are they serving God, but they are serving people. They're ministering to God as they minister to people. Their duty by the way is another indication that they were created. Oh, maybe this is it. Okay, yeah. The simple fact that this may have been something else I was thinking about, Christina. The simple fact that their duty is to serve man is another indication that they were created within that same week. But anyway, just again, a thought there, but we'll look into that a little more. Several of their duties or classifications are given. There are archangels. Archangels are simply chief angels. We do not know how many archangels there are. There appears to be more than one, but only one archangel is named in Scripture, and that is the Archangel Michael. They are chief angels. They are in charge. In fact, they have angels that fight with them and for them. Jim? Some consider him an archangel, but he's never actually called that in the Scripture. He is definitely a messenger angel, though. Yes, he appeared to Daniel. He also appeared to Mary. In fact, some of the most important messages to be delivered appear to be delivered by Gabriel. But Michael is the only archangel that is mentioned Michael is the only archangel that is named. His name means, where'd it go? Who is like unto God. He is also called a prince in the book of Daniel. And then, of course, his title, the title Archangel, is used right along with his name in Jude verse 9. The term archangel is actually only used two places in all of Scripture. And again, there appears to be more than one. I'm trying to remember. I think I've got a scripture coming up here that will allude to that. There are messenger angels. There are archangels. There are messenger angels. This could indeed make up the majority of them because the term angel means messenger. But Gabriel is the only messenger angel that is named. Gabriel means the mighty one. It was he that announced that John the Baptist would be the forerunner of the Christ. It was Gabriel who announced to Mary her conception of the coming Savior. It was probably, this is just my speculation because it's all right there close in Scripture, probably Gabriel who appeared to the shepherds. It was probably Gabriel who warned Joseph of Herod's evil plot to kill those two years old and under. But Gabriel appears again to be given many of these really important messages. And with that, turn to Daniel chapter 10. But Michael is not mentioned there, just the term archangel. Yep. Daniel chapter 10. Daniel chapter 10, and in verses 10 through 13, we find some exciting information. It's just an account of something that is taking place in the spirit world, something that would not be seen by us and we would not even know about except that we're told about it right here. Earlier in Daniel chapter 8 and 9, Gabriel appeared to Daniel and delivered a message to him that Daniel understood. Daniel received the message, but he went to prayer on another issue of importance. And then we read this in Daniel chapter 10 and verses 10 through 13. It says, "Suddenly a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees and on the palms of my hands. And he said to me, 'O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright. For I have now been sent to you.' While he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. Then he said to me, 'Do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard. And I have come because of your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, and behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia." Now, in this passage, we learn some interesting things. First of all, we learn that Daniel prayed, and God sent his messenger to answer him, Gabriel. However, we also learned that en route, a fallen angel called the Prince of Persia tried to stop Gabriel from delivering this message. And this Prince of Persia, probably a demon, fought with Gabriel and withheld him 21 days. So Michael had to come to the rescue and beat him up. And it's here that we're also told that Michael is one of the chief princes, and which kind of leads us to believe that there are more than one archangel. But there are archangels, messenger angels, and then some are referred to as cherubim. Turn with me, if you will, to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. And verse 24. And this, of course, is after the fall of man into sin, and God in His grace expels Adam and Eve from the Garden of Eden. And we read this in Genesis chapter 3, verse 24. So He drove out the man, and He placed cherubim at the east of the Garden of Eden, and a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. So here is a cherubim, and in his assignment, or actually cherubim is plural, so there's more than one of them here to guard the way to the tree of life so that nobody can go to it again. In Exodus chapter 25, the definition.
I'll picture cherubims as smaller
than this. Yeah, we're actually going to look at a description of cherubim in a minute. It'll be way different than what you're thinking in your mind right now, I'll tell you. Okay?
Mine should not say cherubim were mighty angels of the Lord.
Yeah, and they are. And as far as a definition of the word, I don't know that I have one. Exodus chapter 25, though, another reference to cherubim.
What was the
Exodus? Exodus chapter 25. And verses 17 through 20. It says, "And you shall make a mercy seat of pure gold. 2.5 cubits shall be its length, and 1.5 cubits its width." What are we talking about here? Do you know?
The Ark of the Covenant.
The Ark of the Covenant, that's right. And this was the most sacred possession of Israel, okay? And it's talking about what it looked like, or actually the making of it. "You shall make 2 cherubim of gold. Of hammered work you shall make them at the 2 ends of the mercy seat. Make 1 cherub at one end and the other cherub at the other end, and you shall make the cherubim at the 2 ends of it of one piece with the mercy seat. And the cherubim shall stretch out their wings above the covering of the mercy seat with their wings, and they shall face one another. The faces of the cherubim shall be toward the mercy seat." And that's all. I hope someday that I can see the Ark of the Covenant. Well, I imagine one day in heaven I will see an actual angel. But just to know now, we don't know what the Ark of the Covenant really looks like. We don't know what these cherubim on this thing actually were fashioned to look like, all right? But it would be neat to see them. What was that?
You didn't see the movie.
Oh! Raiders of the Lost Ark? I did see it. But something tells me it's not quite accurate. All right, so anyway, another reference to cherubim, and I would imagine as they fashioned this together, these cherubim on the Ark of the Covenant were probably pretty accurate in what cherubim really looked like. All right, turn now to Ezekiel chapter 10. You ready for this, Jim? Ezekiel chapter 10. Ezekiel chapter 10. And here we find a description of cherubim. In fact, I'll read verses 1 through 18. It says, "And behold, I looked, and there in the firmament that was above the head of the cherubim, there was something like a sapphire stone, having the appearance of a likeness of a throne. Then he spoke to the man, clothed with linen, and said, go in among the wheels under the cherub, fill your hands with coals of fire from among the cherubim, and scatter them over the city. Then he went in, and I watched. Now the cherubim were standing on the south side of the temple. Then the man went in, and the cloud filled the inner court. Then the glory of the Lord went up from the cherub and paused over the threshold of the temple, and the house was filled. You know what? I'm reading a lot more than I needed to, I think. Okay, yeah, let's go up to, verse 7. Go down to verse 7. It says, and the cherub stretched out his hand from among the cherubim to the fire that was among the cherubim and took some of it and put it into the hands of the man clothed with linen, who took it and went out. The cherubim appeared to have the form of a man's hand under their wings. And when I looked, there were four wheels by the cherubim, one wheel by one cherub, the other wheel by each other cherub. The wheels appeared to have the color of beryl stone. As for the appearance, all four looked alike, as it were, a wheel in the middle of a wheel. When they went toward any of the four directions. They did not turn. I'm still missing what I wanted here. All right. Verse 12. And their whole body, with their back, their hands, their wings, and the wheels that the four had, were full of eyes all around. As for the wheels, they were called in my hearing wheel. Each one had four faces. The first was like a face of a cherub, the second the face of a man, the third the face of a lion, and the fourth the face of an eagle. The cherubim were lifted up. This was the living creature I saw by the river Kabar. When the cherub went, the wheels went beside them, and when the cherub lifted their wings or to mount up from the earth, the same wheels also did not turn from beside them. I still feel like I'm in the wrong passage here. When the cherubim stood still, the wheels stood still, and when one was lifted, the other lifted. Yeah, maybe it's chapter. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 1. What's that? Verse 20. I think I wrote down the wrong passage here, is what I did. Yeah, I think chapter 1 maybe gives a better description. I think I put a zero there, and I shouldn't have. So I added chapter 10 instead of chapter 1.
And what scripture?
I'm looking. Okay. Let's start with verse 5 of chapter 1. There was some description in chapter 10 there, but I thought there was one with more detail. I think this is it. Also from within it came the likeness of four living creatures, and it was their and this was their appearance. They had a likeness of a man. Each one had four faces, and each one had four wings. Their legs were straight, and the soles of their feet were like the soles of calves' feet. They sparkled like the color of burnished bronze. The hands of a man were under their wings on their four sides, and each of the four had faces and wings. Their wings touched one another. The creatures did not turn when they went, but each one went straight forward. As for the likeness of their faces, each had a face of a man. Each of the four had the face of a lion on the right side. Each of the four had a face of an ox on the left side. And each of the four had a face of an eagle. Thus were their faces. Their wings stretched upward. Two wings of each one touched one another, and the two covered their bodies. And we're just going to stop right there. But to me, it sounds just like this. Right? That's supposedly a cherubim. But but anyway, that's a description. And you know, I guess keep in mind that Ezekiel here is describing something in the spirit world as best as he can. And he gives us this likeness, but it is anything but that.
Yeah.
All right? We're talking about a big, strong being here. With four faces. Yeah, and all those eyes. Four wings. And I think there's another place. I was talking to Amanda earlier. I think it might be in Revelation that there's one that has six wings. But either way, that's cherubim. All right, we've got a few more minutes here. There are also seraphim, which is only mentioned once in Isaiah chapter 6. We won't go there, but their description is very similar to this. So whether these are, you know, it makes me wonder if these are different kinds of angels or different titles of angels. Either way, they are angels. Like I said, but they also mention archangels and messenger angels. So it could just be angels are angels and they differ, kind of like people differ in title and type. So, all right. And then there is the angel of Jehovah. And we're actually going to spend a lot more time with that one when we get to the doctrine of Christ. But I mentioned that even Jesus is referred to as an angel in some places in Scripture, except he has a very, very distinct title when that word angel is used concerning him, and that is the angel of Jehovah, the angel of the Lord. That is none other than God himself. This is really a pre-Jesus appearance, pre-incarnate appearance of the second person of the Godhead in the Old Testament. He's called the angel of the Lord. And again, we'll look at that a little bit more when we get to the doctrine of Christ, which is actually a long ways off. But couple last things here concerning holy angels. And again, Lord willing, we will look at the fallen angels next week. But holy angels are ministers of God. They do what God says. Psalm 103:20 says, "Bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word." They protect God's people. Psalm 91:11, "For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways." They served and refreshed Jesus. Matthew 4:11, "Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him." In Luke 22:43, it says, "Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him." Angels reveal God's glory. Matthew 28:2, "And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it." Now here's an interesting thought. The angel did not roll back the stone to let Jesus out. He rolled back the stone to reveal God's glory and the fact that Jesus wasn't in there. But they reveal God's glory. They praise God. Luke 2:13, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God." Revelation 4:8, "And they do not rest day or night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." They deliver God's people to glory. In Luke 16:22, "So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom." They helped deliver the law. Acts 7:53, speaking of the prophets who have received the law by the direction of angels. they will announce Christ's coming for the church. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 17, "For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord." They will announce judgment upon the wicked. Revelation 8:6 says, "So the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound." Revelation 8:13, "And I looked, and I heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, 'Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth.'" And they will administer judgment upon the wicked. Revelation 9:15, "So the four angels who had been prepared for the hour and day and month and year were released to kill a third of mankind." And that too is something we will yet talk about as we get to the doctrine of end times, looking at what is yet to come for the world. But that is where we're going to end tonight. But do you have any questions or comments? Amanda. The creatures. Yeah. Many students consider them angels too, because angels are described as creatures in Ezekiel and Isaiah. Anything else? No questions? Comments? All right. Fascinating to think about as we were talking about angels going through Hebrews, the fact that...
I'm just glad we know how it all ends.
Yeah, that's right. We've got the end of the story, don't we? Yeah. But there could well be angels right here with us tonight, glorifying and worshiping God with us. Neat thing. And one day they will no longer be invisible. They will be very visible, and we'll worship the Lord together with them.
What about that scripture that is, entertaining? You might be entertaining an angel.
It's in Hebrews chapter 10, I think.
So that means that maybe that they could manifest themselves.
Oh, they do for sure. Yeah, in fact, I think I missed that part in my notes, but they absolutely do. They did with Abraham. As before Abraham went to Sodom and Gomorrah, there were the three men that came, and he entertained them. All right, two of them were angels. So, yeah.
When do we get to the part where we talk about touched by an angel?
You just had it, and we just finished it. Right there, that was it. Well, she's a real person, just not a real angel. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, we do thank you just for the information that you do give us concerning these beings. And in a lot of ways, they are very similar to us in that some follow Satan, as there are some people that follow Satan. But there are also those that follow you and desire to live to please you. And I pray that would be said of us. We do thank you that these beings are here and ministering for us. I imagine, Lord, there will come a day when perhaps we will be able to see how you worked in our lives through these beings who have done battle on our behalf, as Daniel was privileged to find out about during his lifetime. What a glorious thing. Again, just thank you for this information and this little window that we have into the unseen spirit world. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.